Blog Talk Radio.
Would you like to learn something new and exciting? Have you always had an interest in a subject but didn't want to spend a fortune going back to school? The Chicago Learning Center is the place for you. Learn about real estate, the stock market. Learn to be a voiceover artist. If you like to dance, there are classes on salsa and merengue. Interested in preparing a meal for your family? If so, CLC has cooking and baking classes. Want to know the ins and outs of being a handyman? Yep. CLC has that, too, and much more. The Chicago Learning Center. Take a class. Relax. Treat yourself. No grades. No tests. Just fun. The Chicago Learning Center. 773-891-1999. That's the Chicago Learning Center. Call today. 773-891-1999.
Back from the Grammys, the NAACP Image Awards, the Oscars, and Fashion Week, Lady Ease is here to shape your curves and comfort. The My New Shapewear Collection is designed especially for women of color. Embrace your curves and look shapely and smooth in everything that you wear, from capris to work attire to that red carpet gown. Visit MyNudes.com to choose your style and your color. You'll find My New Shapewear in Honolulu, Los Angeles, New York, and online at MyNudes.com. Brown beauties, your best shape is yet to come at MyNudes.com.
Let me tell you about the Peace Parks of North London project. We are creating a peace park from a vacant lot, one part of the park at a time, one weekend at a time. We are volunteers wanting to make a difference. The park will be for the people of Chicago, especially the residents of North London. Would you like to help? Please RSVP for the date and time. You can help by leaving a message on 773-542-9126 or send email to contact@urbanartretreat.com. We work each Saturday and Sunday from noon to 4. Please join us weekends from noon to 4.
Chicago's Black Business Radio Network, all black, all news, all you.
Listen to Tracy E. Lewis on Fridays at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time for the inside story on real estate investment. Coming up on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. is Diana Long with Art and Social Justice Issues. On Tuesdays at 9 a.m., listen to Akeem Ugal with News 4, The Passive Real Estate Investor. Listen to CBBM Business Journals Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. and listen to The Tough Questions noon with host Sonia Cassandra Perdue. Visit us at Chicago's, that's Chicago with an S, Chicago Black Business Radio Network.com. To be a sponsor, give us a call at 773-609-2226. To sponsor an upcoming episode, call us at 773-609-2226. Thank you.
Chicago's Black Business Radio Network, all black, all news, all you.
It's Wednesday, and this is Diana Long, and it's time for Art and Social Justice Issues. Today we've got Damon Williams on the phone. Damon, are you there?
Hey, I'm here.
Okay, Damon. So today we've got a lot to talk about, and I want to cover all our bases. So, Damon, I want to start by asking you a little bit about your background. I understand you're in the arts, so it looks like you like to curate art and that you're into hip-hop.
Yeah. So when I was, like, in my freshman year of college, I was, like, 18, 19, I started realizing I needed creative outlets. And my sister being an established spoken word performer and a playwright in the city, I started, like, looking to her. And we built a partnership, and we were a hip-hop duo, or are a hip-hop duo, called April Fools, named after our mom. Her name is April, and she was born on April Fool's Day. And from that experience, not only did we make a lot of songs and performance pieces and poems, but we began curating and producing a lot of community events around the art that we were creating. And that experience and that partnership kind of transitioned around the shooting of Mike Brown and the Ferguson protests. So in August of 2014, we joined together and started an artistic activist organization called the Let Us Breathe Collective. And with that experience, we went down giving service supplies and gas masks. And from that, kind of to fast forward a little bit, I'm now in the process of, like, intersecting my artistic background with my newfound social organizing experience, or activism, as many people call it.
Okay. How did you get involved in art and hip-hop? Did you study? What age were you when you first got started?
Well, when I was, like, a little kid, I wanted to be a rapper. Like, when Little Bow Wow came out, when I was, like, 8 or 9, I used to write very elementary raps. But I didn't take it seriously until I started writing poems when I was about 18 or 19. And I began to go to Young Chicago's Authors weekly open mic in Wicker Park called Wordplay every Tuesday. And from there, I started to, like, connect and build with a whole community of artists that were really part of a renaissance happening in our city, and allowed me to kind of further develop my creative processes and my performance abilities.
Oh, okay. What part of Chicago did you grow up in?
I'm a South Sider,
okay.
Born and raised on the South Side, 87th Street.
All right, great. So why don't you tell me a bit about Let Us Breathe Collective and the space you're building called the Breathing Room.
Yeah, so Let Us Breathe Collective, like I mentioned previously, is an organization that's about almost a year and a half old now, born, like I said, out of the Ferguson Rebellion. And now what we're doing, since we've been in coalition with the organizing community in the city, organizations such as BYP 100, We Charge Genocide, Asada's Daughters, and many, many more, Black Lives Matter Chicago, FLY, Fearless Leadership by the Youth. So now we're in connection with all of these organizations, so we are trying to create a movement-building space where first and foremost, those who are most affected by the issues that we're talking about, namely the police state and the prison industrial complex, those who are most affected by that, we're headquartered out of the North Lawndale area. We want to build with them and then also create a greater collective consciousness, or a way for people to kind of build within this organizing community that exists in this city. So Martin Luther King Day, MLK Day, we're launching this space. It's called Breathing Room, and it's going to be a multidisciplinary exchange marketplace. It's going to have an artistic focus, but we're really going to be taking that day to not only deconstruct some of the mythology about MLK, but celebrate the fact that this is the 50-year anniversary of Martin Luther King actually living in Chicago. He lived in the North Lawndale area, started in January 7th of 1966. So this is the 50-year anniversary of a really big movement that happened in the city that people don't really talk about, and we don't really know too much about that history. So we're going to tap a little bit into that and also just try to have a good time and build community with our friends and with our comrades, and also with the residents of North Lawndale.
Okay. Where is the celebration going to take place on Martin Luther King Day, and how can people plug in if they'd like to be involved, or they'd like to attend or participate in some way?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the address is 3609 West Cermak. On MLK Day, we'll be in that space from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. But for anybody who wants to get involved, you can definitely email letusbreathe2015@gmail.com, or you can hit us up on Twitter at letusbreathe773. And we're also having another planning session and outreach gathering this coming Sunday in the North Lawndale area. So we'll actually be getting on the pink line and letting people know that the next week on the 18th we'll be getting together. So anybody who's interested, anybody who has any creative capacities, anybody who has any resources or just wants to come and be a part of this moment, be a part of this movement, please feel free to reach out to the Let Us Breathe Collective, and we'll be meeting at 3609 West Cermak on January 18th from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Okay, so your next meeting is going to be January 10th?
Yep, Sunday? That'll be the date, this coming Sunday, yep.
And it's going to be at what time?
We should be in the space from 2. We plan to ride the train back and forth on the Pink Line from about noon to 2, and from about 2 to 5, we plan to be in the space at 3609 West Cermak. And you'll have to get in contact with us because right now we have to let people in through the back door because the new space and the front door is bolted. And so we'll have signs and we'll let everybody know, but just to let you know, if you go through the front side, you won't be able to get in.
Okay, so nice and slow. How about repeating the email address and is there a phone number?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, you can contact me at 773-386-7313. The email address is letusbreathe2015@gmail.com. And you can also reach us very easily through Twitter at letusbreathe773.
Okay. You know, I was wondering, does the name Let Us Breathe have anything to do with Eric Garner?
There's definitely some synergy there. We came up with the name before we knew about Eric Garner, but I think that moment is so powerful and so tragic, but also a very poignant metaphor for racial and social oppression in America. So the idea of breath does come in the physical sense of people are literally dying and being, you know, the life is getting choked out of us, but also being able to breathe free, being able to take in life and give out life in a free, unencumbered process. That's what we're about. And the name actually came from a song that we were writing around the time.
Okay. Now, you mentioned BYP 100, a political organization comprised of black youth. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, I've been a member of BYP for about a year now. It is an organization that came about coincidentally around the time of the Zimmerman verdict when he was freed for the killing of Trayvon Martin. So it's about 3, almost 4 years old. And it's a political organization comprised of black youth, and we define youth from age 18 to 35. It's a space that centers those who are most marginalized within blackness. So that means we operate out of a queer feminist lens, which just means that as we are combating and attacking racial oppression, we are also, fighting homophobia as well as sexism in the system through an intersectional lens. And we meet, it's important to know that BYP 100 is a national organization with 13 chapters around the country, and Chicago here is the flagship. And so we are in the process of launching a new economic agenda, and that will come out around the MLK holiday. And we're asking for our system and our society to start investing in our communities and funding black futures.
Wow, that sounds good. How long has the organization been working on the statement they'll be putting out around Martin Luther King Day?
The economic agenda has been in work for probably about a year now, maybe even a little bit longer. It is a document that has been comprised by members of the organization all over the country, as well as some of our mentors, and it's a very comprehensive look at how racial injustice is kind of executed through economic inequality, and begins to propose some solutions on how we can reshape our society and our economy to be more equitable and to be less violent in black communities.
Is it possible you could tell us a little bit more about it? Like, what are a couple of the solutions that might be listed?
Our first ask is that we need to realize that public funds are being co-opted by militarized police forces. So here in Chicago, we need to know that 40% of our city budget, so 40 cents of every tax dollar, or the equivalent of $4 million a day, goes to the Chicago Police Department, and that is just CPD, and there are other police forces in the city. So what we're asking is, one, to divest from policing. 40% is ridiculous and way too much, and to take that money and to invest into Black communities. And when we and by that investment, we mean, one, an investment in minimum wage. We are in alliance with the Fight for 15 movement, one, for more child care and more high-paying wages for women. Excuse me. Also, the investment into mental health facilities. The Emanuel administration has closed down virtually all opportunities for mental health in Chicago and in Cook County. And we know that in this country there are more people
Damon,
suffering from mental
illness. Sorry to interrupt you, Damon, but I want to talk more about that. But we need to go to a commercial break. So when we come back,
no
we'll be with Damon Williams, and we're going to talk more about the situation of funding for mental health here in Chicago. Thanks, Damon. Hang on, and we'll be right back.
All right. I'm
Chicago's
right.
Black Business Radio Network, all black, all news, all you.
Listen to Tracy E. Lewis on Fridays at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time for the inside story on real estate investment. Coming up on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. is Diana Long with Art and Social Justice Issues. On Tuesdays at 9 a.m., listen to Akeem Ugal with News for the Passive Real Estate Investor. Listen to CBBM Business Journals Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. and listen to The Tough Questions noon with host Sonia Cassandra Purdue. Visit us at Chicago's, the Chicago with an S, Chicago Black Business Radio Network.com. To be a sponsor, give us a call at 773-609-2226. To sponsor an upcoming episode, call us at 773-609-2226. Thank you.
Chicago's Black Business Radio Network, all black, all news, all you.
Hi, we're back. This is Diana Long with Art and Social Justice Issues. Thanks for that break. And Damon, I wanted to talk some more with you about the situation here in Chicago with funding or not funding people with mental health issues and how that might make a difference. I know that President Obama was on the television yesterday and talking about some issues around gun control, but he also did mention that we need to be better at funding for people with mental health issues. So tell me how that fits into the agenda for the BYP 100.
Right. So our focus on mental health kind of ties in or intersects with our overall focus on restorative processes, whether that be restorative healthcare processes or restorative justice. So in this, you know, system or in this society, we use punishment or kind of like, you know, excommunication to deal with all of our social problems. So that means in Chicago and in the country at large, there are more people suffering from mental health issues in jails and in prisons than in mental health facilities, right? So we need to just accept and understand that as a society, if that's what we're investing in and that's how we are structuring ourselves, we are then creating and investing into violence. So if we really are trying to keep our community safe, we need to know that police bullets and cuffs and cages and fines does not solve a problem. It's just trying to put a Band-Aid on a wound that is becoming more and more infected. So we are trying to correct and counteract that trend and invest into our communities, because we know that where there is a lack of resources, i.e. the south and west sides of Chicago, there is going to be more trauma, and trauma leads to mental health issues. So it's really an epidemic that is happening in our communities, specifically in urban communities throughout the country. And it's great, and I appreciate the president giving rhetoric or adding that into the dialogue of discourse, but that is not new. We've been having this conversation now for at least 5 to 10 years, and it's time to start making substantial investments and realizing that investing into a prison industrial complex is actually a direct investment against correcting mental health issues.
Okay. Well, I'm noticing here in my notes that you have a weekly podcast, which I didn't know about. Is it called Ergo?
I do indeed.
Okay.
Air Girl Radio.
And
yes.
Say you are currently interviewing some of the most influential young artists and activists in Chicago. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, it's actually been an experience that I've been really proud of. A college classmate of mine moved here to Chicago from New York and reached out to me. And so every week, every Thursday, we broadcast on WHPK, which is out of the University of Chicago campus. And the frequency is 88.5 FM, but we record and podcast every episode. And we have a SoundCloud page, and also you can subscribe on iTunes at Ergo Radio. So every week for an hour, we sit down with some of the greatest artists and some of the greatest young organizers and activists in the city, and sometimes those are the same people. And we get to have a deep conversation about what's happening in our world, what about this city, what about their upbringing led them to be who they are and led them to do the things that they do. And so when you put it together, it's becoming quite like firsthand historical source of a new generation of leadership, a new generation of a cultural renaissance. So some of the people we have had on include Malcolm London, Rick Wilson, Paige May, Ethos, or Ethan Van Leer. This week we have Veronica Morris Moore, who was fundamental in a leadership position in getting a trauma center on the South Side, a fight that was 5 years long. And then also just some of the best musicians and poets in the city, including Nate Marshall, R.J. Eldridge. And a lot of these people I'm proud to call friends and kind of associates. And so when we put it together, you know, we have a good time. It's a very informal, setting. But we get into some really, really deep issues in a way that's very accessible. So I'm really proud of Ergo Radio. We're on tomorrow, like I said, at noon. But if you miss it, you can catch all. I think we've had 24 episodes so far at Ergo Radio, at SoundCloud, as well as on iTunes.
Great. That sounds really good. Well, it's encouraging to me to know that there's so many people doing a lot of good work. Yeah, and young people, too. A lot of people say young people aren't doing very much, so it's very, very good to get the word out and hear that people are doing things, and it helps to encourage others to be involved or to keep going. So,
I appreciate that. I appreciate the space.
Yeah. Maybe you could speak to our listeners about just that, you know, that a lot of people feel that young people aren't stepping up and that they're not being involved, and this is a very good opportunity to, you know, say what young people are concerned about, and, you know, what are some of the issues you're most concerned about, and tell us what people are doing.
Okay, so first I just want to speak to that dynamic, because I've been getting a lot of questions about kind of generational differences, and I think that is overplayed or not as much the reality, and also we need to understand historically two things. One, older generations have always been critical of the generation that follows them. That's just like the nature of our society. And also, most radical social change, no matter what period, was led and usually driven by young people, no matter, you know, if we're talking civil rights movement, black power, you know, and even before that. So right now, Gary McCarthy would still be in office if it wasn't for young people organizing in the streets for the last year, you know, before Laquan McDonald. Rahm Emanuel would be functioning in comfort if it weren't for young people putting the pressure on this system. So the fact that we are in this moment, we need to understand, was not because of old pastors or old aldermen, and it's no disrespect to them, but they have not been the driving force into this very radical, important moment. And so some of the things we're focusing on, I've mentioned already, but one, decarceration and a reduction in the police state, and personally the military industrial complex and the global policing that we're doing, because this violence is destabilizing the planet. Also, restorative justice, so a move away from punishment. We need to stop, particularly in CPS and in predominantly black schools. Punishment is the way that we teach our children. It's more about demerits than about learning. And so that is also, as we know, how we funnel kids from the school-to-prison pipeline. So being more restorative in our practices, and also, like I said already, economic justice, and knowing that the way we are functioning in our system is not only destroying our communities, but destroying this planet. And we have to do something about it now, and we have to do all of this intersectionally and realize that in all of these systems, racism is prevalent, but also patriarchy and misogyny and sexism is prevalent and violent, as well as homophobia and transphobia. And in order for any of us to get free, we all have to get free. So, you know, the system is too widespread, I think, for us to focus on single demands too much, because if you're only trying to plug one hole, the boat will still go down, so to speak. So my question or my push is always for people to take a look back on how these institutions are operating on a systemic level, and to look at our history of how we have structurally set up our world to be violent and to be oppressive. And that is the reality in 2016 America. And we do not live in an exceptional post-racial place. We live in a place that is at a critical point and on the verge of crises. And unless we make it better, it is going to get much, much worse. And so the way you can make it better does not have to be political. It does not have to happen at City Hall. It can happen in your world or whatever institution that you operate in. So whether that's on the radio, whether that's in your school, at your job, in your social clubs, right? Whatever institutions or systems you are interacting with, you should try your best to learn how they are oppressive and how you and your position can counteract that. So that's a day-to-day thing, and it always requires knowledge of self and knowledge of the world around you. It is not an easy process, so I don't say it lightly, but that would be my push or my ask to people, specifically young people.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of young people and, you know, working on things where things are at, I want to ask you a quick question, and then we've got to go. Someone asked me yesterday, I live in North Lawndale, they live in North Lawndale, and they said, Diana, you know, I'm really discouraged about the neighborhood right now. And one of the main things I'm discouraged about is I look out there, and there's all these young men just standing on the street doing nothing, not contributing, not doing anything positive. And that it's very depressing to me. And I just don't know what I'm going to do except maybe move out of the neighborhood. And we're going to have to talk about that sometime, they said, you know, because it's really getting to me. And that plus the issue of, you know, putting a garbage can out so people pick up litter instead of throwing it on the ground, but then the garbage can is super full, and how are they going to pick up that garbage can by themselves and take care of it? So here's like a really concrete thing, very concrete, very in the neighborhood, very right in front of you kind of thing. What would you tell this person? What would you say to them?
I would say that I sympathize and empathize with their sentiment, because I drive through the city that I was born in every day, and it does break my heart as well, to see the plunder. And to see, you know, the squalor and the despair, and it's very visible, right? Because, like you're saying, young men and women have to be on the street. And then what I press people to do is that we're taught to blame the individual for their predicament. We're taught that it's their fault if they were just smart enough, if they pulled their pants up enough, if they paid enough attention in school, they wouldn't be in this predicament, and therefore they should be to blame and they're responsible.
I told her to go
and
make friends. What do you think about that?
Pardon me?
I told her to go make friends. What do you think about that?
To go make sense?
Go make friends.
I'm sorry, I can't hear that.
Make friends. Be a friend.
Oh, yeah,
be a friend.
Make friends. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, our time's running out.
Okay, I'm sorry. But I guess my response finally to that person would be to look at the system and the reason why those young men don't have space and have not had the opportunity to be productive in this society. And then what can you do to counteract that instead of being sad or blaming them, and see who is responsible and who are currently making these things happen, and either offer solutions to the people or resist those who are making these circumstances so.
Thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. And
thank you, Ms. Lana.
I wish you luck in everything
you're
doing. Okay, Damon?
All right. Thank you very much. Good luck with all your work.
Thank you. Bye now. And that's it for today. Another Wednesday gone by. So long, everybody.